Star Yudei, the Torah Way, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Adler.
Right, okay.
Pick it up.
Right, I want to go through a little bit of a thorny topic, which, amazingly enough, most people you speak to will have some kind of opinion on this topic. The topic of the safety of vaccines, halachic safety of vaccines, halachic obligation for a person to vaccinate themselves, their children. Obviously, it's a davar im that a parrot, because there's a lot of discussion now about this, the new COVID vaccine. Now, just by way of introduction, let's just talk about the metzias for a couple of minutes first. You understand what we're talking about? It's very interesting, because the voice of sanity never normally shouts very loud at all. If there is a very, very loud movement against something, normally it's just because it's anti-establishment and people don't want to be told what to do. There are many people who tell you they're not going to vaccinate because why should the government be able to tell me what to do? And that's really where it ends. You know, there's a very famous joke about this woman sitting with her friends, sort of 70-year-old woman sitting with her friends having some tea, and her husband comes home. She says, "I'm going to show you who's boss." Tells her husband, "Get in the cupboard." So he gets into the cupboard. She says, "You see, I wear the trousers around here. I'm boss." 10 minutes later, she said, "Right, come out now." He says, "No, I'm going to stay in here. I'm going to show you who's boss." And he's got a very, very similar concept of, yeah, I can't help sort of thinking, people who will tell you, "I will stand up, I will not let sort of the government make me put something into me which I decide I don't want to have." But most people have a very, very basic misunderstanding, number one, of what a vaccine is, and number two, what they're being asked to do and why they're being asked to do it. In general, anyone who is an anti-vaxxer is actually the strongest believer in vaccines. Very, very simply. Until 1796, until the vaccine was found for smallpox, there used to be 400,000 people a year used to die from it. And then they discovered the vaccine. Dr. Edward Jenner discovered the vaccine. And from then on, the numbers went down rapidly year on year until it was literally eradicated from society. The only way it got eradicated was because of the volume of people who took the vaccine. Now you don't need to take the vaccine anymore in theory because it's not around. The reason why we do still continue to vaccinate against all the things which we've eliminated is because there's always going to be a strain somewhere which is sitting dormant, perhaps in the people who can't vaccinate, and therefore it's going to come out again later on and it's going to spread very rapidly if people are not inoculated against it. We've got things like nowadays we vaccinate for smallpox, for polio, diphtheria, measles, rubella, the famous MMR vaccine. I think that's probably the most popular anti-vax statement is they won't do the MMR vaccine. Now, really, in order to eliminate the problem of measles, mumps, and rubella, which all have devastating effects under many circumstances, we need people to do it. So now, we'll talk later on about whether you are allowed to piggyback on everyone else, let everyone else do it, and once we're over the world of doing it, I'm not going to do it anymore because the necessity to do it has gone down, therefore the danger has gone down, and maybe my chiv is not as strong anymore. So, just a final piece of metzias before we move on to the halacha. This, everyone knows that the MMR vaccine causes autism. How does everyone know that as a fact? The people tell you as a fact. That's a definite fact. Now, if you look at the research, there was an article in The Lancet, which is obviously a very respected organ of medical information, medical literature today. And there's 12 doctors who wrote this this research, and they found that MMR vaccine causes autism. So now, as everyone jumps up and down, you see, it causes autism. There's 12 doctors, and they'll quote the same research. The problem is, if you look a little bit further along, you'll see the number one, 10 of those doctors, and I've got all in writing, the 10 of those doctors all pulled out after they heard that the lead researcher had had an agenda that he wanted. He was a classic anti-vaxxer. He had an agenda, and the data was completely false. And if you look much later on, the Lancet actually themselves, they published Pesha also a Pesha Yitir, right? They themselves published a full article retracting that original article. So even someone who nowadays decides that they've got no interest in doing it, normally botla dat mis kolodom. There's no way that someone who is undertaken of their own with their own beliefs that they shouldn't do it, there's no way that should carry any weight at all. And if you look, most of the poskim, apparently Rabbi Shlomo Weiss gave a shiur this week, I didn't hear it, but I know that he has always been a very, very, very very pro-vaccination. I don't like saying pro-vaccination, because that makes it sound like people who are anti have got some kind of stand, as if it's something which is pro and anti. But you should just know that anytime you hear there is a concept being pro and anti, normally it's about being anti-establishment or pro-establishment. Nothing to do with the vaccine itself. So that already is your key. If you hear people that are anti, I mean, you have this with all kind of moral issues, I think, which I've debated in various different sort of ethical events, where there's this discussion between people of different persuasions and religions about different moral issues. Normally you will hear a very, very strong anti and pro. I mean, there's nothing to do with the issue itself. It's about a general belief, often. Now, there's a chiyuv min haTorah to be careful, both b'kum va'aseh and sheval ta'aseh, to prevent sakana. The Rambam in Hilchas Ritzeach, Perik Gedalef Alach Gedalet, brings in Hilchas Makeh, he brings two makers. He says, Echad agag v'echad kol dava sheyesh bo yisakona, v'roi sheyikoshel bo yodam, v'yomus, g'goyin shoyis le be'er, bo'er, v'chaseiroi, anything which can cause a person to die. For example, you've got a pit, you've got a well in your chotze, b'in sheyesh be'em maim, b'in sheyim be'em maim, chayev lasis en chulio g'voya asor et fochim, oy lasis lo kisri k'dei shle yipol bo yodam v'yomus. If you have anything dangerous in your chotzer, you mechuyev to either cover it or build a wall around it. Now, v'chein kol michshel sheyesh bo sakanas nefashos, mitzvus asei lahasiroi ulashomim mimenu. There's a mitzvah asei to remove the michshel itself and to protect yourself from it. Ulizor b'dava yofe yofe. Shneema yisham elecha ushmoi nafshecha. V'imloy heisir v'niach hamichshel es amivin de sakana bitul mitzvah asei v'ova alisos and domim. So there is definitely a chiyuv of Hisham Lecha. There's definitely an Issa of Lesos and Dom Vesecha to be able to leave a danger around. This obviously doesn't apply only to a physical danger, which would be the case of a pit or a be'er in your chotzeh, which someone could fall into, or a roof that someone could fall off. You have a chiyuv to make sure to protect yourself and to protect everyone else against any kind of danger which can exist. Now, if you're going to be able to protect someone else through this wall you put up, whatever protection you're going to put up, then you also, and certainly if you're able to protect someone from illness, your mekayim it's also vashivaisalai. Vashivaisalai means it's the rabbis hashavas gufay. If you're able to return to someone else or prevent someone else losing their own health, then you have mekayim mitzvah deraisa of vashivaisalai. You've prevented someone else losing their health. So we need to see really what is a person's responsibility towards other people. Are you mechuyev to put yourself into danger, even a small danger, to be able to protect someone else? But let's first see what is the level of risk you're talking about, and at which point are you mechuyev to undertake risk to be able to protect yourself against greater risk. So Moshe Sternbuch he goes through it as follows. He says there's even one in a thousand is mechayev atzali. Even one in a thousand is mechayev someone to save them. Now the Magen Mishnah in Peir Beis Shabbos Halach Yud Gimel, the Magen Avraham passes this as well, says afal pisha yeledes echad me'elef lo yimeisa l'idei leida. Even though we know that even one in a thousand women have not died during childbirth, dying during childbirth, particularly nowadays, is extremely rare. And normally, when they do die during childbirth, it's not because of childbirth itself, it's because of the side danger they had, normally hypertension or cardiac risk, which they anyway had, and therefore they were a high-risk pregnancy. But in a normal pregnancy, it's highly unusual. Less than 1 in 1,000, certainly. Less than 1 in 1,000 die from it. Still, when Mechanon Le'as HaShabbos, Lechatchila, we have to do a B'shinoi. But Mechanon Le'as HaShabbos, that's 1 in 1,000. Now, Rashi Bava Metzia, Daf Bava Beis, the Masal Kulam, Rashi says, because Chamira Sakanta Me'esura, when we were paskening on a Shaila of Sakona, we're more Machmer than Issa. So if an Issa, we would only go on a far lower, on a far higher ratio, sorry. If it's Sakona, then even more than Echad Me'elef, even more than 1 in 1,000, which means, even the risk of less than 1 in 1,000, we still are going to be makbid to take the necessary precautions. If it's Shabbos, if it's Mechalal Shabbos for this woman who's giving birth, and if it comes to taking the very, very minimal risk that there can be in taking a vaccination, we need to look at, okay, if there is that very, very small risk in taking a vaccination, how many people are going to be affected by this particular illness if we don't vaccinate? For example, take something like measles. Measles nowadays is only such a non-issue because we vaccinated against it. If we hadn't, we would know many more people who either died or were very, very severely injured, very severely maimed for life by measles. With rubella as well. Rubella now, we test almost every woman before we try at least to make sure that every girl before she gets married has rubella. We check she's rubella immune to make sure that her children aren't born blind, which is something which is a very, very real risk. Now, the Magen Avraham in Siman Shin Tes Zayin Sifkot Chaf Gimel says, "Also la'ar gashamamis b'Shabbos, the af sheish chashash lipol toich hamachol." You're not allowed to kill a shemamis on Shabbos, even though it could fall into the food. The milsad le shchichihi v'yochel lachasas samachel. You cover the food over. V'gam echad me'elef shu musukan samachel. There's the Magen Avraham says you can't kill a shemamis on Shabbos, even though it could fall into some food, because you cover the food over. The risk would apply to anything which is going to any kind of poisonous flea, which is going to cause the food to become poisonous and kill someone. Because you cover the food over on Shabbos. Now, if there's, the Rabbi Akiva Eiger says in Shuvas, he says, if there's the im ikat tsar uchayiv ve'efsh al tsad horochik echad mini elef the yitzmach mazeh sakana isaf sakana ein zeh bedin bekuach nefesh. He says, if there is a 1 in 1,000 chance that there's going to be a din bekuach nefesh, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that's not called a din bekuach nefesh, which would mean that if we know that this risk that is of getting the illness is only 1 in 1,000, Yitzhak wouldn't have to vaccinate. The Chaznish says about Shabbos, you have to be very, very careful not to talk about. He says, "Shein lemar likris bekoach nefesh b'chol davar rochik." You have to be very careful not to call every single thing bekoach nefesh. If you're very too quick to call things bekoach nefesh, then you could cause you're noisin yad l'poishim. You're going to cause people to have a free hand of mechal Shabbos for anything. As soon as the concept is drawn a little bit broader, we have people that I once had there's a clinic that I work with in Greece where they come here sometimes. We run satellite clinics, and so obviously for my Jewish patients I always do it on the Sunday, but for non-Jewish patients we do it on Shabbos. Don't worry, I don't make money on the Shabbos clinic, but that's a sad thing. But unfortunately, last time we did it, I saw on Matzah Shabbos, when I get the review of all the patients who come in, I could see quite a few Yidden had been there, none from Yidden. And when I called them up to do the follow-up for the medications, they said to me, they all had the same thing. Well, it was, you know, it was, I know obviously we had to drive there and stuff, but you know, obviously danger to life and everything, you know, medicine, health, I just throw the words around, so it's okay to do whatever you want on Shabbos. So that concept is drawn a little bit too broad, then it's mostly ad l'poishim. However, there is a very big chiluk between what the Rabbi Akiva is saying and what we've got over here. He's saying, the lashon he used was, echad mini elef de yitzmach mizeh sakana yisafik. If it's going to come from this, which means from a safe situation, a situation which is currently safe, there will grow out of that a dangerous situation. Then, Echad Min Elef is not called Zakhanas Nefashis. But in a case where we're not looking for an unsafe situation to grow out of a safe situation, we're talking about a situation which is, at the moment now, as unsafe as it's ever going to be. In anything we're vaccinating against, we have in front of us already the risk. And the risk is probably minimized by the fact that we've vaccinated until now. But at the end of the day, the risk is very real. It's there, in front of us. And therefore, we're not expecting a risk to grow out of it. We're talking about something which has got a risk, which is already here now. And we know, therefore, that there's definitely going to be chiyuv, possibly even, to vaccinate, even with a risk only of echad min elef. Now, the risk from infection is so small. It's so incredibly small. I mean, it's very interesting. We hear, whenever someone talks about vaccination, the first thing they say is, you know, like, would you take it? Almost a wreck of venom. Well, would you take the vaccination? Now, there's something fundamentally flawed about that, because people have got such a morbid fascination with statistics that they only sort of jump on board to read the statistics when it's something which affects them personally. almost insults them. So someone feels almost insulted they've been told to take a vaccination. They will automatically, the first thing they hear about it is it safe? Well, there should be a hanacha the other way around. Is it safe? Now, what can go wrong out of that, outside of that? I explain to you why. The vaccination itself doesn't alter your DNA at all, your DNA sequencing at all. Your body is constantly, every cell is constantly reproducing itself. Or replicating itself, we should say. Now, you hope that you'll have an absolute duplicate copy of every single cell, and that's how a person remains healthy. When Rahman al-San, someone develops cancer, we've got the same cells have been replicating as they do, but there'll be a slight mutation, and you'll have a faulty cell, and that will reproduce itself again and again. A vaccine doesn't do anything to the core cells of the body. All it does is it trains the body to recognize this particular virus, builds up antibodies against it, and is going to allow your body to be able to fight it when that virus comes real time. What they give you is a dead virus. Hold on a second. Now, what does it mean to give you live COVID? Even that is deeply misunderstood. So there's a belief that they're injecting real COVID into you. Now, back in the day, when before anything was developed in vaccinations, what it did was, for example, smallpox, they'd take some pus from the wound and they would inject it into you. Yes, that would be a genuine example of a live infection putting into someone else at a small level and hoping the body would be able to deal with it. That's really creating faster herd immunity. It's not proper vaccination. It's not inoculation. It's not preventing it coming out in society. The way it's done nowadays is completely different, because the science is so refined. You are able to literally unpack a virus and remove different elements of it, even if it's alive. Which means you're putting a live, real virus in, but you've actually removed the elements which are likely to be able to go out of control once it goes into the body. So the main thing is you keep the surface antigens, you keep them there, which we know with the genomic sequencing, we know exactly what it is, and then we're able to inoculate against it. But to move on, the Sofik in Sofik Puach Nefesh, this is the Cheshma is in Sofik Puach Nefesh. Again?
Antibodies, you don't need
them. So wait a second, hold a second, no, it's true. If you have antibodies, possibly you don't need it, 100%. The question is, the antibodies anyone has, if you look at the blood test, so I've seen a lot of people's antibody blood test results, the range is enormous. Now, there's no data at all on what level you need to be at to be able to maintain your numbers until the next time round. For flu as well, we vaccinate every year, and whenever there's a new strain, which people are talking about this new strain, it's brilliant, someone said to me after having to say, do you really believe in this new strain? It's not something to believe in. Look at there's nothing to believe in. That's the problem. It becomes a belief or not a belief. Some things are very basic scientific facts. If you believe this is a piece of bread, so it depends if you've ever seen, if you've ever been to a lab and seen how it works, then you'll have an easier time believing it. But if you believe there's some clandestine sort of conspiracy going on, then yeah, you're going to struggle with it. But let's look at Sofik Puach Nefesh, Lo Yozdina Basar Roiv Roifim. When it says Sofik Puach Nefesh, you don't go Basar Roiv doctors. If you have Sofik Puach Nefesh, even Roiv doctors say A, and there's Miyot that say B, we can follow B as well. So let's talk about it, put it into context with this. With measles, it's going to be very different. There's a very, very simple question, because it is. If you're chayish in yuta, then you're going against the safek b'pikuach nefesh of the roi. So there's a miut that say that the vaccine is going to be dangerous. So you're going to be chayish for that miut. But then, either way, if you're chayish for the miut that is, the vaccine is dangerous, you're going against the roi who say that measles are incredibly dangerous. Now, if you are going to follow the safek b'pikuach nefesh according to the roiv, if you do the vaccination, then the safek b'pikuach nefesh is only according to the miut. So either way, you got safek b'pikuach nefesh in the measles itself, and you got safek b'pikuach nefesh doing the vaccine. So either way, you're going to deal with safek b'pikuach nefesh, either according to the roiv or the miut. It makes much more sense to do the vaccination where you're dealing with the safek b'pikuach nefesh of the roiv, and only left with the safek b'pikuach nefesh of the miut. So it's true you go basal. It's true that you are choshesh in yuta by safek b'pikuach nefesh. But when I've got safek b'pikuach nefesh in the roiv and the miut, obviously I'm going to choose to follow the safek b'pikuach nefesh of the roiv, which is that I should vaccinate against the measles rather than safek b'pikuach nefesh in the miut of taking the vaccination. A simple cheshbon, and that cheshbon is compounded by the fact that the miut that are saying there is a danger are not basing it on, as in the evidence, we're not relying on them entirely for the evidence. Because everyone can see, out there in the world, the amount of cases there are on either side of autism from taking the vaccine and illness or death from measles. You don't need the roifin to be able to tell us that mere sophic is there. It's small enough that we could see very clearly, everyone could see that for themselves, that the choice is either follow this general rave, which is open to everyone to see, or believe in some possible belief that there is some miut, which we only know from the aiders of these doctors.
That's exactly the point. We've seen and not seen.
Correct.
We've not seen.
So now, how's it work with this? Wait a second. Let me get this. This is very different. In measles, we know their effects. In measles, we know the effects. Everyone who is. So it can affect everyone to a large extent. Whatever the age is, doesn't make a difference. However, with COVID, we know that the group that are most at risk is the older group, and therefore, really, you shouldn't be able to have any young people to do it. So this is where we come onto a much bigger shaila when it comes. Are you mechoy to put yourself at risk for someone else? So again, so when you say chayach, let me tell you this. Are you allowed to mechayev someone to do a surgery in order we need to save someone? Are you allowed to mechayev someone to do surgery to be able to take an organ from them to be able to save someone else? Are you allowed to put yourself at risk to be able to donate a kidney? Now we know that's something which is not just commendable. We know that is definitely halakhically there's no issa at all. Why is someone allowed to put himself at risk? A very minimal risk. Now that's just to be clear, the risk of undertaking surgery for a kidney transplant to be able to be a donor is obviously far greater than the possible risk of taking a vaccination. However, you very rarely will hear people say, are you not anti-kidney donor? You're not, come on. Are your family not, are you not against it? It's because there's never been an agenda developed about it. I don't want an agenda developed about it because it's completely wrong. But halakhically, why should we have to do that? So the ma'isa, let's bring a few makoros over here where there's a chiyuv. There is definitely a makom chiyuv to put yourself at risk to be able to save someone else. If it says number one, pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, mesamer adam reyecha. The minayin imro isa tivea bana elistim boyin alav oy chay ra ba alav chay v'tar tzile benafshay tamer lema leisamer adam reyecha. How do you know that you're mechuyev to go and sell them? Someone's drowning, so they look like they're drowning. How do you know you're mechuyev to go in and save them, even at minimal risk to yourself? The answer is leisamer adam reyecha, which means you're mechuyev to take a certain risk to be able to go and save this person. The Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs and Leisa Sefer Rish Tzadik Zayin says the Rambam is mazer as milisrashel bat solas nefesh echad kishenere b'sakonas mavis ayhefzit. Says the Rambam is masna. He says there's a tenai that sheyesh lematzah siyacholis lehatzel. The person who's going in to save has to have the ability to be able to save them. Now, if you see someone flailing around in the water, you don't know what happened to them. But the water generally looks safe. You're not mechuyev to think, if they got in trouble, then why shouldn't I get into trouble? If you know how to swim, and you see someone struggling in the water, you're not mechuyev to start to think that there could be a risk I don't know about. which I can't see in front of me, why is he struggling? Rather, he mechuyev to go straight in and do it. Hagoras Ammonia says that it's interesting. He paskins that if you've got a suffik vaday and suffik, you've got a suffik sakana. You don't know if there's going to be dangerous for you to go in. And someone else is in there and he's got valet sakana. Says mechuyev that his valet, your mechuyev to put yourself in the makom suffik for his valet. The Chavos Yoreh says, the famous Gemara of Rabbi Akiva, that Shnayim Shalchu Bamidbar, and there's only two people going in the desert, and there's only enough water for one of them. If both of them drink it, both of them will die. Over there, with the Chiddush Rabbi Akiva is, that Chayecha Kodmin. V'achta Reyecha Kamecha, Rabbi Akiva, who even though he holds, V'achta Reyecha Kamecha, but says, V'chayechi Chayimach, you don't put your life in danger, rather you drink it and leave them. The Chavos Yoreh says that's obviously the story there is where we know definitely if both of them drink it, both of them are going to die. Says the Chavos Yoreh that the Rebbe Akiva would never pass in that Chayecha Kodem in a case where there is only a Sofik. He said if there's a Sofik you can both survive by you both sharing the drink, then you take a Mechuyev to do that. There's the Radvaz is very interesting. There's a steer in Radvaz. The Radvaz is the most, if you look around, the Radvaz is the one that's quoted, came out by everybody brings this Radvaz, who says that there's an issa to put yourself in danger for someone else. Now, the Radvaz is less than the steer in Radvaz. The Radvaz in Tshuva says that someone who puts himself at risk is a chassid shoita. The sveikis they are different vadeh the chavrei. The suffik that he's got is more important than the vadeh of his friend. And anyone who does put himself in a suffik sakana to be able to deal with the vadeh is going to be a chassid shoita. But the Radvaz says on the Rambam, on that Rambam we've quoted before, the yarmachui to put yourself. The Radvaz says that the person's supposed to put himself at risk. But he says, "Mikol makim masofik noita el havadai ena chayv linsa atzmin atzis eschaveri." Eschaveri. So Pashas of the Vaz is saying, only when the sofik is noita levadai, are you mechuyev to be careful and not put yourself into that sofik. If the sofik is not noita levadai, which means it's not a sofik which is balanced towards, which is weighted towards a definite risk, then you're taking mechuyev to put yourself at risk for this thing. So obviously there's. There's plenty more we need to go through. I just want to finish off talking about the current vaccines. You're going to say, well, look, if most people aren't going to grow ill from it, then what's the big deal? There's a few things. Number one, anytime we have, although you're not mechuyev to be choshish for a sofik which is not there yet, what we do know for sure is that with the mutations that keep coming, we know that there is always a possibility that this is something which is developing risk. There is, at the moment now, this new strain happens to be only in the virus load and the spike in the way it attaches itself to the T cells, so it's not going to be a big deal. Hopefully the vaccine will still work for it. The danger is not that much greater. But over the virulence, the transmission is much quicker because of the virus load. But everyone agrees that in the same way as we've seen, there's been mutations constantly. So it's a developing risk. There's a constant ongoing risk that the virus will develop into something which can be more dangerous to different groups. That is, and even if you say it's something which nothing's come of it yet, we don't know, we haven't seen that yet. What we have seen is the developing risk in the fact that it's mutating. So the only way to eliminate it is eliminate what we've got now and prevent us having hosts, bodies, to allow the illness to continue to mutate, and then we'll pass something around which can't be dealt with, or can be more dangerous to younger people. That's A. Now B, a young person, Pashas, will have a chiyuv to be able to prevent this, to prevent it going round, to be able to protect other people. There are many people who are at risk, who, even the young people who are at risk, got underlying conditions, and need to be protected from the vaccine, protected from the illness. Therefore, the vaccines are going to be taken by enough people to create that herd immunity. So are you allowed to say, well, if everyone else is taking it, I should just be able to piggyback on them and not take it? But the man says, Claude, it's very, very clear that the Gemara Sanhedrin, it's Midas Sadaim, Davashali Tumi, Eshamchi, they said that if anything, the cloud, the Gemara there, is that anything which is going to be oscillatory, which if everyone does it, is going to be bad. It's bad for individuals to do it. Because everyone steals less than Shalapruta. Kimala or Chomos. Everyone steals less than Shalapruta. Each person's done nothing. But anything which if everyone does it, is going to cause someone to lose everything, it's going to be also for an individual. That goes for a lot of different things in moral and ethical dilemmas. In medicine, we look at the clout, but if every individual would do it, it's going to be a problem. then it's going to be asa. The same as the chiyav for all the bnei ha'ir to be mishtatif in the shmira of the town, to mishtatif in the tikkun ha'chemes of the town. If one individual doesn't join in the shmira, join in the tikkun ha'chemes, nothing's going to happen. But the problem is, every individual is part of the klal. If you look, you can see that it's a definition of different people. If there's 11 people in the minyan, the person who's going to look around and check how many people there are and walk out is a person who defines himself as not a member of the klal. He sees himself as an individual. Because mehechateisa, you're different to everybody else in this room. It's a very, very defining picture of a person. Someone does it, but obviously had some emergency. But what makes you, are you an individual, are you a member of the klal? As a member of the klal, do you still respect yourself as an individual member of the klal? Very discerning thing. But, just to finish off, anything which you're going to rely on the klal for, and you're going to piggyback on them, will obviously be also for you as well. It's going to be a chiyav on you as well. It's known people quote Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, who says you don't have to have an MMR. I know a few couple of Talmidim of his are here in Manchester, don't do the NMR injection. There's Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky said very clearly, especially in the debate about whether schools allow to prevent children coming in, is there an issa, or is there a chiyav, sorry, for everybody to do it, and you should be able to tell them we're not taking children to school. Most of the place came held that you're allowed to tell, school allowed to tell parents that we can't take your children in unless they've had the injection. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky argued that and said anything which hasn't been instated in law, you can't impose on the parents that you have to be able to take the children to school. But we have to realize that I've seen a lot of people who don't give the vaccinations, who have got no idea why they don't, they just know there's something wrong with it. But in the few years that I've been working here in Manchester in medicine, I've seen three gentlemen who will never be able to have children because they never had the MMR injection. They had measles when they were bochrim, and that wiped out their whole possibility to have children. And when I spoke to one of the mother came with a son, I said, do you realize that your decision not to give him MMR injection has prevented him ever having an opportunity to have children? So she said to me, look, our family don't do it. I said, but this is the point. The moment your generation have got a family, but he won't even have a family to be able to say our family don't do it. But there's so much misinformation that goes on out there. People don't realize the dangers of these things. So, you know, the risk of autism, that's the problem. So much more than that, anyone who tells you they're not doing it is lemaisa piggybacking on everybody else. They really, anyone who tells you we are anti-vaxxers, they are the strongest believers in vaccinations, because they would never want to have a family where they have diphtheria, polio, measles, and all those things going on in their family. They would never want to have it. But now that everyone else is vaccinated, they come forward and say, we don't hold of it. Why? Because thank you very much, everybody else has gone and done it. You're going to see the same thing now with the COVID vaccine. There'll be plenty of people say they don't want to have it. Number one, the same people are happy to... If you want to look at the science, there's so many things which are carcinogenic. Cancer causing... What happens is, it causes... Obviously, your body naturally is constantly reproducing cells. If they do duplicate themselves imperfectly, that's when you get big issues. There are many different foods which cause that to happen. But Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with great nefloes, HaBoreh created a self-fixing mechanism that the body detects when a DNA strand has been mutated, and it will fix it. When that fixing mechanism doesn't work, that's when the person gets severely ill. And then we imbibe things every single day that have that aim, which are far more far-reaching negative effect than a vaccination, which is going to introduce another antibody to the billions of antibodies we already have in our bodies to fight everything else we are, every other infection we're meeting all the time. So, just to summarize, there's definitely, in the chiyav pashtus, there's a chiyav for someone to put themselves at risk, definitely very minimal risk, in their own sophic risk, if you even call this a sophic risk, to be able to protect someone else, number one. Number two,